Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hysteria is brought to you by Nutrafol. The holidays can get busy and overwhelming quickly, and thoughtful gifts that encourage slowing down and prioritizing self-care always stand out. With Nutrafol, give the gift of stronger and faster-growing hair, an ideal gift for anyone who deserves a boost of confidence and science-backed support heading into the new year. You know what? I'm just going to say it. This is something that if you have a close female friend that just had a baby, this is a great gift. Because something that a lot of people don't talk about is your hair falls out about a few months to 6 months after you have a kid. And Nutrafol is a great way to help restore some of that hair loss. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. See thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months. This holiday season, Nutrafol is the perfect gift for anyone on your list, your mom or aunt going through menopause, a friend who just had a baby, like I mentioned, yourself, anyone looking to support their overall hair health. Give the gift of confidence this holiday season with Nutrafol. Whether you're treating yourself or someone on your list, visibly healthier, thicker hair is the gift that keeps on giving. Right now, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription plus free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and use promo code Hysteria10. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Hysteria10 for $10 off. Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, if turkey stopped existing, there's no more turkey, no option for turkey, what meat do you think should replace it as the Thanksgiving main course?
Roasted chicken.
Really?
Yeah, right?
You don't want to do something like weirder? Because like we eat chicken all year. Turkey is like...
A duck?
Okay, I accept that answer. I think
thank
duck,
you so much.
I think duck works, and I think just as many people who like would mess up duck
or turducken. Bring well, you said no more turkeys. So
a
what else is in turducken?
A tofurducken. So it's tofu on the outside and a duck on the inside, and so vegetarians
that sounds like the sickest mouthfeel that I could think of.
I'm sorry, I put that out into the universe.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that integrates merch into its video components.
However we can.
Nothing more festive than integrating merch, right? We're introducing something today. The Conversation Tin. Our senior producer, Caroline Reston, is holding it. If you're listening to this, I'm describing it as covered
gorgeous.
In a floral pattern, and it has Hysteria written in script on the side. Anyway, for our purposes, we are using it for... Ooh, wow, Caroline.
This is my Vanna White moment.
She's got her Vanna White moment.
With my fucking grubby fingers.
Caroline's here to show it off. Alyssa, explain what Caroline is here to do.
For the Tin's debut, we brought in Caroline Reston to select and answer the questions. We have not seen these questions, so pray for us. Caroline, let's get started.
You made it seem like I'm just selecting and answering the question. I'm just here to answer all the questions myself.
This is a holiday tradition.
Yeah.
In the Hysteria fam is Caroline gets to go on the microphone and you get to use this as a retreat from your family conversations that have grown tiresome.
And this is where Caroline tells us the perfect Thanksgiving bite is everything on your plate plus champagne.
Vove specifically.
I remembered. I was pretty close.
Okay. Let's start with the first question. A piece of gossip you have kept secret. Oh, have you guys read this?
I saw that they were in the doc, and I was like, I just want to be surprised.
I didn't. Okay, no, okay. I want to be surprised. I did not.
Okay, well, great. We're starting good. A piece of gossip you have kept secret until now for no reason, really, because it doesn't matter anymore.
Well, I'm not going to name the names involved in this.
Boo.
Well, because I don't want to get sued because they're famous people. But this is a fun story. And I think I've told Alyssa this. This is like a legend in like people,
okay.
among people that were in DC around a very specific time. There is a still working, fairly famous female media personality who was having an extramarital affair with a male author. And who was married at the time. She was not married. He was married. He decided to break things off with her. This is the way that I've heard it. He decided to break things off with her. She didn't do well with it because she has a reputation of being insane. And if you knew who I was talking about, you would be like, I can see it. I can see it. She has a reputation of being just fucking nuts, right? So he's like, I've got to end it. I got to go on a book tour, whatever. And she finds out that he's actually not going to a book tour. He's going on vacation with his wife to, like, make amends. She goes to his house, takes a garden hose from the yard.
Puts it I remember this
into
story.
Into the bedroom or into the living room window.
Genius.
Turns it on. They're on vacation. He comes back and their living room is, like, ruined. But anyway, he didn't go back to her, but that was her revenge. I can't say who it is. But
well, you will tell us after, right?
Alyssa knows this story.
Yeah, I know the story.
Alyssa knows this story, but
that's damaging.
I know. That's like my favorite piece of like DC media psychosis gossip. And it would have been like maybe 15 years ago at this point. Like it's a long, long time ago. And the reason I'm keeping the names out is because like they're both famous still.
Right, right, right.
Still famous. Mm-hmm. Guys, I don't really have a gossip that I've kept a secret until now.
You
for no
definitely
reason.
Have.
Do you
no,
have anything but from middle school?
Let me think.
Or like something you lied about for so long that it just become a truth in your life now? Not
well,
that
see,
I've ever
I don't
done
think
that.
I don't think I'd know it, right? If I've made it truth, if it's been around for so long that it's truth, but I have like a weird fear of ever saying something I shouldn't. So I was like sitting here thinking while Aaron was talking and I was like, I don't know. Is that not, does that not matter anymore? It feels like it still might matter.
I have another one.
Go ahead. You take two on this one.
This involves just the people that nobody knows who they are. They're people I like went to high school with. I'm going to name girl A, girl B, and guy. So Girl A was working at this gas station in a town north of me when we were seniors in high school, and the manager of the gas station was Guy. And girl B was out driving home from, like, a basketball game one night, and she saw Guy's car parked on the side of a back road. He had, like, a very distinctive car. And when she was like, oh, that's weird, and so she slowed down because she was like, why is his car here? And up popped the head of girl A, who was like, high schooler parking with the manager of the gas station where she worked. And the next week at school, the girl who saw them went up to the girl A and was like, hey, were you in Guy's car? I thought I saw you in Guy's car. This girl freaked out because this guy was like a young adult and she was like an 18-year-old high school senior. And she was like, that didn't happen. You're making shit up.
So legal though, right?
It was legal, but like unethical, like deeply unethical. And so girl A went around spreading rumors that girl B had done something wrong. I don't forget what the rumor was, but girl B, it turns out, was telling the truth anyway. Yeah. So like.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my senior year of high school. It was a huge thing. It was like spring of senior year.
And everyone knew about it?
And like people took sides. Like people believed girl A and people believed girl
that's
B.
That's fun when and, there is. And feuds happening.
Yeah, and both girls A and B were on the basketball team with me. And so it rended the basketball team. I was on the side of girl B, who said she'd seen girl A, but girl A was one of the best players on the team, so it caused drama among the basketball team.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's my goss.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. I don't that wasn't English, but I didn't like that question. That's kind of negative, even though I literally wrote this one. Has there ever been a guest on Hysteria where you thought to yourself, never again?
Yes.
Yes, and I'm not going to elaborate.
I'm not going to say. That's it. Yes.
Okay, good to know. We'll let listeners try to decide. If you had to, what reality TV show would you go on? Cooking shows don't count, Alyssa.
Oh, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Or
but you're not Mormon.
Don't you understand? I think they need me. Like, I think I could provide a real service. I think they need a manager, like now that they're on Dancing with the Stars and everything. I think they need me. And also now that Dad Talk is competing with Mom Talk, I just think they need a leg up, and I think I'm that leg up. There you go.
I mean, this is like kind of blurring the line between reality TV and news because it's so old school that I think like, but I would love to take Chris Hansen's place to Catch a Predator and be the one that's like, well, 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 like every time I would be like swinging a more elaborate weapon, like a medieval mace. You know, like, ha, 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 ha. Well, look who thinks he's hooking up with a 13-year-old. You know, it would just be
so good.
Sometimes I would have a big dog with me. Like, it would just be very theatrical for a new era. I think, yeah, it's time to have, like, a female Chris Hansen, and I think I could do it.
I think you totally right. That is so crazy that show existed.
It was amazing.
It was crazy.
It was an amazing show.
They would have a woman be like, hi, I'm Jessica. Come over. Have some iced tea with me. It was so creepy.
Yeah, it was so creepy. But you know what?
Unbelievable.
They're still doing stings like that. There was one in Minneapolis the other week where one of the people that they stung, I guess, was a person who was working for ICE. And now, like, that's the headline. This guy's face and name everywhere. And apparently when they came to arrest him, he goes, I'm ICE, boys. And they were like, fuck you. Double fuck you. Like, people in Minnesota are not fans of ICE. Like, I don't know what he thought. Like, oh, okay. Oh, I guess
I think you're famously not very respected right
now. Yeah, yeah. So it's like being, hey, guys, I'm a Nazi. I'm Gestapo. I'm brown shirt. Like, well, that's not going to help your case. All right. Anyway.
Okay, so Alyssa's Secret Life of Mormon Wives and Aaron is
to catch a predator.
Great.
That works.
Great answers.
That sounds correct. That feels right.
What's one Gen Z trait you respect? And what's one boomer trait you respect?
One Gen Z trait I respect is their desire to do a 9-to-5 job and to, like, be done at 5 and go live their lives. I respect that.
I think I respect there, of course, there's, like, a version where there's too much of this, but I think that their ability to just be nonchalant in the face of people that are freaking out, I think is, like, really interesting because it's hard for me to, like, not match the energy of somebody if I'm in a confrontation. But I've seen Gen Z in confrontations where they are just the Gen Z stare, but, like, in a deliberate and aware way. And I'm kind of like, that's actually a good de-escalation tactic because you don't want to, like, you don't want to meet someone when they're, like, freaking out. You don't want to meet them there. That just, like, makes things worse. So I respect that a lot. What's a boomer trait that I respect?
Boomer trait.
I feel like I really respect that boomer parents always force kids to have dinner at the table. Or is that just my mom?
No, that was 100%.
I feel like that was very
how I grew up.
Thing, yeah.
You did not ever. And you had dinner. When I was growing up, it was only when I got to be like 15 or 16, I could have dinner at a friend's once a week. You know, like on a Saturday night or something. But other than that, I had to eat at home.
I think a refusal to use technology that they're not comfortable with, where they're just like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, somebody else has to figure this out for me. Like, they just won't do it. Like, I'm feeling very boomery when I go to the grocery store and they're like, oh, you could have a coupon if you download the app. No.
Nope. Absolutely not. Nope. You are not getting my information.
No. I fucking hate it. I'm not going to sign up for the portal at the doctor's office. You can call me on the phone and we can discuss
it. Oh, my God. The Elation app.
Ugh. With school and preschool, there's like all these fucking portals you got to sign up. I just don't, like, I am drawing a line. I'm like, no, I'm not doing any more apps. And I feel like that's a very boomery quality. Alyssa, what are yours?
My boomer quality, I think, is that it's like that insurance commercial that's always on TV. I think I talk to people too much in stores. I'll be like, you know, it's like I'm in the hardware store and people are just trying to do their thing. And I was like, wow, what kind of caulk is that, huh? Tell me. I'm like, I'm very chatty in places.
Do you think that's a good quality?
I think it's in a world that's not very friendly right now. It feels like I'm friendly.
I think like small talk is a boomer quality for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I know my limits. Like, I know when someone's not interested.
I get that.
All right, next question. Yeah. Last time I got too drunk was?
I don't know how much. There was like a company event that we had at like a famous venue in LA. And like when I Ubered there and home, and in the car on the way home, I was like, I am too drunk.
That's like the worst feeling when it happens in the Uber. You're like, uh-oh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no. And like, yeah, it was nothing good happened after. Like, I got home. I think I yelled at my husband. Like, it wasn't great. The next morning, I was hungover. It was just, I'm too old for that. And it's just, yeah, that was the last time. And that would have been like this summer.
Mm-hmm. I think mine was like three summers ago. And my oldest best friend, Kara, and I went to go see our favorite band from high school, God Street Wine, in the city. And she and her husband left early, and I stayed. And then I hung out with the band. And then I was like, let's smoke a joint. And then I was like, yeah, I'll have another beer. And then I was like, I need to go home right now. And I took the long way home, walked so that I could go buy the McDonald's and get a quarter pounder with cheese and French fries, because I thought that was going to be what solved my problems. Uh-huh. And I made it to the powder room in my apartment. And when I woke up, Midge the cat was licking my face.
Okay.
And after that, I was like, wait, you know, like you sit there. Like, there's that moment when you know you've had too much, you've consumed too much, and you're like, wait, is it liquor before beer, never sicker? Liquor, like, you know what I mean? You start being like, did I do it right or did I do it wrong? And then you're like, oh my God, the room is spinning. It was all wrong.
Oh no, the spins.
The spins are the worst. Ugh. Hold on, because they're not going to end anytime soon.
I've gotten to a point where I'm like, I literally have like a 2-drink max.
That's it. It's two drinks.
And then I need to have like a big glass of water, and then maybe I can have like an aperitif or like a small, like a whiskey.
It needs to be over the course of a meal. Like, I can't just have like 2 drinks and no food. No, I cannot. Yeah. Not anymore.
I do sometimes think about when I was young and in college, and it would be like I would be out until 3 a.m. on a Friday, and then my friends and I would go home and order Papa John's breadsticks, and then we would wake up at 7 a.m. and start tailgating for the football game and drink until the football game, go home after the football game, take a nap. My senior year, I got into the habit of going on a run after the football game. So I would have tailgated all morning because then it would sweat out. I would metabolize the alcohol that I drank so that I would be able to go out again that night. It's so bad. Like,
oh my God.
I
remember when we'd be so hungover, we'd go to the Golden Corral. Do you know what the Golden Corral is?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'd go to Golden Corral and we would just eat buffet. It's disgusting.
There was a place in South Bend called Nick's Patio. And like when I was in college, a lot of places were making it so you couldn't smoke indoors.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And like, but South Bend, Indiana, not exactly on the cutting edge of like public health measures.
Right.
And so Nick's Patio still had a smoking section. And in college, it was still like fairly common for people to just like, almost everybody smoked when they drank. It was like very normal.
Always. It's how you slowed down how much you drank and didn't spend as much at the bar.
Exactly. And made friends. Made friends.
Totally.
When you had to go outside.
Hey, I don't want a Parliament. Does anyone have a Camel Light?
And we'd go to Nick's Patio and like sit in the smoking section and like smoke and like eat Euros.
100%.
Ugh.
Ours, my equivalent of that was smoking at the back of the plaza in Madison and eating gravy fries.
Oh. Ooh,
yeah.
Gravy fries.
Isn't that just
gravy
poutine fries without the cheese?
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. If I had to date a famous serial killer, it would be?
A famous serial killer?
Well, Caroline, we know your answer.
No, that's not who I would date.
You wouldn't date Charles Manson?
No, he's too short. And he's like dirty.
I agree with that. I really have to pass on dating a serial killer.
No,
I think
you can't.
I can't.
Can they be dead?
Yeah, they can be dead.
Eileen Wuornos.
She's also a girl. I'm watching a documentary about her right now.
I feel bad for her. I think that we could be each other's companions. And I wouldn't be in danger with her because she killed men. She didn't kill women. So she wouldn't be like.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and also just like whenever a woman kills a man, I'm just like, well, what did he do?
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's like that show. Remember Lifetime TV, I think it was, had that show called Snapped.
That used to be my dad's favorite show.
When we were on the Obama campaign, we used to watch it. It was on like Sunday afternoons or something. And the girls would all watch it, and one of the boys was like, this show is sexist. And they were like, you can sit the fuck down, all right? This is the one joy we get. The men have been bad. The women snap. They deserve to get off. End of story. Like, it was very funny at the time.
Sounds like you're really delaying your answer to this question.
Well, because I, like, had to Google. I don't know. All right, I'll go with you said Aileen Wuornos.
Yep.
I'm like,
there's not very many female serial killers. Yeah,
right. Oh, like Jack the Ripper. Oh, my, like, old timey.
God. No, he was terrible. I guess maybe
none of them are good.
Ted Bundy? He was
Ted Bundy had a
handsome?
Regular relationship with a woman, like, he apart from all handsome. The like sexual torture and murder that he did on the side.
Oh, I don't know. Caroline, I hate this question. This is going to give me the bad sleeps tonight.
You could be in a lavender marriage with John Wayne Gacy, because then again, you wouldn't be in danger because he'll
okay, you know what?
Him.
I'll take that. That sounds like I can sleep better with that.
Okay.
Why do I know so much about murder?
This is why I wanted to ask.
The two of you did. That's why you both had good answers.
I avoid
serial killers at all cost.
Israel Keyes, because he had a whole family who had no idea what was happening the whole time and took him on cruises and vacations.
Yeah, but he was like into like Linkin Park and shit. He listened to new metal.
That's cool.
But you want to listen to new metal?
What? I'm not worried about it.
I am a survivor of new metal. I feel like you don't know what you're talking about.
But he's also like moderately attractive and clean. Cleanliness,
yeah, that's
is
true.
Important.
I see Richard Ramirez was the first one that occurred to me. Then I was like,
disgusting.
He famously stank.
Yeah, he had halitosis, famously.
Yeah, so
gross.
No, thank you.
Guys, gross.
What's an underrated movie or TV show that should be more popular?
Well, I don't know if it's like underrated, because I think people who have seen it really love it. But there's this British show that is like a dark Sex in the City with Shannon Horgan.
Oh,
I love her.
It's called Pulling. And it was, like, the first show that she starred in. So it's, like, about these three British women who are just, like, complete messes. And one of them, like, breaks a engagement in the first episode. And it's all about them just trying to, like, navigate their single lives. But they all, like, their lives are all, like, so, so dark. So it's, like, a bleak, bleak, dark comedy. And I think the only way to watch it is on DVD. But I have the DVDs if you want to borrow them. They're really good.
What's it called?
Pulling.
Pulling.
There's only two seasons.
Alyssa?
I don't know. You know what actually one of my favorite movies is? The September Issue. Hmm. I find it very soothing.
Oh, that documentary, right?
Yeah, it's a documentary, but I find it very soothing because everyone speaks in a very quiet tone. And I feel like, I don't know, I think it was R.J. Cutler back in the day. It's one of the things when I can't sleep at night, I put on. So there.
Hmm. Another Shannon Horgan underrated show. Catastrophe.
Yeah, Catastrophe.
Catastrophe is
the one
a
I thought
great
you were gonna
show.
Say.
So good. I just like, I'll watch her do anything.
Yeah. Who is it? So Rob good. Delaney? Rob
yeah.
Delaney?
Mm-hmm. He's great.
Yeah,
in
it's a
it
very
too.
Good show.
But it is like so dark. You have to be like,
it's so dark. You don't realize it's coming.
Yeah. You have to be like braced for how dark it is. But I think it's like cool because a lot of shows that involve characters that like party and drink a lot, it sort of like glosses over the fact that like this is probably bad and unhealthy, and there's mm-hmm. probably going to be some real, if somebody really did this, there would be like real consequences, and that show like has real consequences in it. So
yeah,
similarly, just like a regular movie that I find is very soothing too is Julie and Julia.
I haven't watched I've never one. Seen it. I'm saving it. There's like movies
Sam,
that
it's
I'm
a
saving
great...
I've never seen
for
it
what
just for a time that I really need it, like,
oh, okay.
It's really, it's like, it's, I find it's lovely and it's charming. And there's this old movie called Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, which I think Cary Grant is in it. And it's, the whole thing is just about them building their dream house and how it almost wrecks their marriage. And there's this scene in it. I think it's Myrna Loy is in it. And she does all the paint colors. And she has all these spools of thread. And she goes, it's close to a candy apple red, more like a ripe Jonathan. Anyway, I like the way she describes all that and how the kitchen should match fresh butter.
That does sound soothing.
It
you know
does. It's really
you know what
soothing.
I'm saving the movies for? I'm saving the movies for when I'm in an earthquake shelter. That, like, in my head, I'm like, when am I? I'm saving it for when I have been displaced by a disaster, and all I have is like my phone that I'm hotspotting and I can like watch movies and I'm trying to take my mind off the fact that my home has been destroyed. That's what I'm saving it
and
for.
You can just text me because all the movies that I told you, I actually own them so that they can never disappear on me because they are so essential to my ability to self-soothe.
Great. Send them via carrier pigeon when I am, because I'm pretty sure the mail doesn't deliver to whatever earthquake shelter I will be displaced to.
Okay, I have two rapid fire questions and then one last question.
Okay.
Okay, so you have to answer these quick. First thing that comes to mind. If I were a Muppet, I would be?
Fozzie.
Oscar.
Claire or Caroline?
Oh, no. No way.
Fuck that. That's a dumb question.
Thought I got you guys. Okay, here's the last question. Taking it from the 10. My best advice to men is?
My best advice to men is, I think it would also be advice to women, but I think women are taught to internalize this and they just live this way. And I think men are not taught, they're not socialized to internalize this. And so they need to teach themselves to live this way. But mm-hmm. try to add value to every social interaction that you have. And I don't mean money. I mean like every relationship you have, be somebody that adds value that is not money. So like, you know, if you are, you know, having an interaction at work, you know, try to say something valuable and nice, like be funny, be interesting, ask a question, remember what somebody told you the last time you spoke to them. Like, you know, if you're not somebody who likes chatting with people, if you notice something that needs to be done, that's kind of like a community task, do it yourself.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think just like look around and be like, what can I do? And I think that like a simple version of that is like when I'm at home, if I'm like sitting on the couch and I'm like, I want to get a glass of water and I go to the kitchen, on the way to the kitchen, I'll be like, oh, here's some things that are out of place and I'll pick them up and I'll put them away and then I'll get my glass of water and then I'll come back. I feel like that is a really simple way for a man in a living situation to just always be adding value. It's like there's always things that are out of place. Notice that and like put them away. I know that sounds like very simple, but it's just like
But I think my advice was simple too, which is like if you have not been asked a question, think about what you're going to say before you answer the question you were actually not asked.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like someone, and this is like DK is very good at this, but there was someone who I dated back in the day that like someone would ask me a question and then they would start to answer it. And it's like, why are you, stop and think before you speak. It's even simpler than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think ask more questions is a good.
Yeah, lead with curiosity.
Yeah, ask more questions and then be interested in the answer.
Well, that too. Don't 10 seconds in, you can't drift into another thought.
Yeah, no, that's not great. Because if you don't really want to talk to somebody, then don't talk to them. But if you do, then actually talk to them. I don't know. I think, yeah, that's it.
There
that's the
go,
only
man.
Advice for men.
I usually would self-edit myself, but there's something that's really been on my mind. And it's when you see a woman walking alone at night or walking her dog at night and you're in your car, you don't need to slow down. Just keep driving. I always see like men just like slow down when they're driving by. And I'm like, what's like, it's that's really scary. Or if you're just sitting in your car with your lights on, doing I don't know what in your car, just turn your lights off. Like mm-hmm. I'm just getting a lot of men slowing down while they're driving near me. Granted, I'm in like a neighborhood, but I'm like, just keep going. You don't need to, if you're going to pull over, don't do it near me because that's fucking terrifying. And it mm-hmm. happens so often.
Oh, also check other men more. Like, if a man says something fucked up around you,
be like, dude,
like, what is that? Like, if you're somebody that is like hypothetically disgusted when somebody says something like sexist or misogynist or whatever, or weird, be like, that's weird. Why'd you say that?
Fucking weird.
I think that like women are the ones that are checking men so often and it shouldn't just be our job.
Yeah.
Like, just because you're a dude doesn't mean you can just sit there and not confront other dudes.
Yeah. All right, those are all my 10 questions for you guys.
Okay.
That was good. 'Tis the season.
If you have enjoyed our game of conversation tin and you want to have a tin, I mean, you can use any tin, but if you want a special hysteria tin for the game
use
of conversation tin, you can get it at crooked.com/store. I think Alyssa and I have half bought out the stock.
Yeah, you better hurry up
because
I have a lot of bits and bobs that needed containers.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey This story is brought to you by Jones Road Beauty. Holiday events and parties are about to be in full swing, and getting ready always feels like such a hassle. So much makeup, too many steps, never enough time. There's always something that's like after work, and you're like, how am I going to put on a whole face? I've had this face on all day. My face is diminishing. Holiday party makeup often doesn't feel natural. It feels like a mask. It feels heavy. But you know what? That's why I like Jones Road Beauty. Jones Road Beauty is a minimalist makeup brand founded by makeup artist Bobby Brown that creates versatile and easy-to-use products that simplify your routine. Every formula is packed with clean, skin-loving ingredients. I love it because it cuts down on the number of steps and it stays on. I'm wearing it right now on my cheeks. I'm wearing it on my lips. I've worn it on my eyelids. You can pretty much wear it anywhere. It adds a nice blush of color and it works to keep my skin moisturized, especially during the drier winter months. Jones Road just launched their most giftable and exclusive holiday collection yet. All 5 limited edition kits in the collection are trios that include new holiday shades, products, and packaging. Whether you're gifting or getting ready for holiday parties, these curated sets take the guesswork out of your makeup routine. Don't miss out. The sets won't be here for long, and once they're gone, they're gone. All Jones Road Beauty products are actually good for your skin. Their products look and feel natural, like you're not wearing makeup at all. You can create that effortless, natural, no-makeup makeup look. Their bestseller is Miracle Balm. That's what I'm wearing right now. The ultimate makeup skincare hybrid product that gives a natural glow. This holiday season, simplify your routine with makeup that's clean, strategic, and multifunctional. From November 18th to December 1st, Jones Road is doing their first ever Black Friday sale. Go to jonesroadbeauty.com and get up to 20% off site-wide. That's jonesroadbeauty.com for up to 20% off your entire order. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that comes with a side of gravy.
Delicious.
I like it on the side.
Me too.
I like it on the side because I don't want someone else deciding how much gravy is on
my food. Want it drowning either. No. I like to control it.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I have salad. I get the dressing on the side and I sometimes just like dip it. It's gross.
Oh God, no, that's awful.
I know.
That's like, what's the point of the salad?
I'm disgusting.
You're not disgusting. That's just very boring.
Oh, wow. That's the meanest thing you've ever said to me. Okay, now for some solicited advice. Remember that through the end of the year, you can write us on Discord, which is a fun little community that we all like to pop into once in a while. Or you can email us at hysteria@crooked.com with advice in the subject line. All right, Caroline.
Okay, our first question of advice. Hi, it's my first Thanksgiving with my boyfriend. We're both in our 30s and have close relationships with our families. Since it's still so new, the plan was to do dinner separately, and then he was going to come to my family for dessert. The host houses are approximately 30 minutes apart because I have a 24-hour hospital shift on Friday and don't want to be out driving around super late. But his mom is kind of upset that I'm not coming there. He doesn't care either way, and their dinner is going to be literally just him and his parents while mine is a bunch of extended family. How do you manage splitting up the holidays when it's close enough to potentially make it to both, but like not really?
Okay, so first of all, how do you know that his mom is upset? That is like a key thing. Did he tell you that his mom is upset?
Right.
Did she tell you that she was upset? Because that to me is like a red flag. The mom should not be telling you that she's upset. Your excuse is completely reasonable. You have a 24-hour shift the next day. Like her being upset is...
Well, yeah, hold on. I got to jump in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because she caveats it as if his family's holiday is not as important as hers because she has a bunch of people and it's just the four of them in his family. It's just he and his parents. Therefore, that makes me a little sad for his family and makes me understand why his mom might be upset because they're down one quarter of their guests, whereas she has 30 people at her house.
Sure, but she's the one that has to work a 24-hour shift the next day. I feel like that to me is priority one. Like reality, she has to work for 24 hours in a hospital the next day.
Right, I agree with that.
And so I understand the mom being upset, but I also, the thing that's chapping me is... How did the information about the mom getting upset get
Agree.
To her? Because she should not be privy to that information. Mm-hmm. The mom should either keep that to herself and not tell the girlfriend or not tell her son. And the son should not be like running emotional interference between his mom and his girlfriend. Like that's That's not appropriate.
But also, what about going Wednesday night?
I think proposing an alternative is the right move.
Yes, like, is important.
To say, like, I'm really, you know, I wish I could come. I've got a 24-hour shift on Friday, so I'm only going to be at my house. But right. I would love to see you on Wednesday night. Or, alternately, Saturday. Do you guys want to do brunch?
Yeah.
Do you want to do a Thanksgiving weekend
Proposing
brunch?
An alternative is important.
Yeah, I think that that's the move. Because, like, at the same time, I think it's really, like, it's a bad dynamic to have, like, a mom telling her son that she's upset and then the son running to his girlfriend and being like, my mom's upset. Like,
what do you want? Right, because he's not solving the problems. He's passing the problem on.
Exactly. And that's a relationship for the son to manage. Like, that's something
that, I agree with that.
That she should not, especially since the relationship is new. Like, if they were married, maybe, but, like, the relationship is
They were married. She'd know the mom was mad.
Exactly. But the mom would also, like, understand why she can't do it. Yeah, I would say just propose an alternative. Just
propose an alternative that's like adjacent the holiday, or alternately, like maybe just go much earlier in the day. You know, help the mom prepare her meal, like go at like 10 or 11.
Oh, yeah, bring coffee and pastries.
Bring coffee and like help them get ready and say you're sorry. Like in our house, I don't know how you guys do it, but we tend to have like a snack around 12 o'clock, like some cheese and crackers and a cocktail. And then we usually eat around 2 or 3. So like maybe, like for my sister, who we know is an avid listener, her husband lives 40 minutes away. His family lives 40 minutes away. And when it's both Thanksgivings, they'll do early, drop by one, and then have dinner at the other.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe try to do something earlier in the day.
My family and my in-laws, like, they live far apart from each other and very far from us. But I think if they lived close, and I don't want to say boundary, like, this is a boundary. But I mean, like, some guidelines for holidays would be, like, we're never doing two holidays in a year. We're going to be
in a day,
we're never doing two holidays in a day. We're not splitting Thanksgiving. We're not splitting Christmas. We're doing Thanksgiving in one place, Christmas in one place. Because if you ever get to a point where you have kids, that shit is unfeasible and people are very, like, people that I know that have families that are close have complained that it's, like, very fraught.
Yeah.
And so, like, the sooner that you can be like, oh, you know what, not doing this, we'll do this, I think that establishes, like, a pattern and a baseline. But for now, I think the worst thing that she could do is cave to his mom being upset and do the thing that she doesn't want to do. I think that that's, like, the worst course of action is to just...
Yeah, she needs to... But I think proposing an alternative is very fair.
Yeah. But I like the idea of breakfast. I think that's, like...
Yeah.
That's nice.
All right, advice question number 2. I'm toying with the idea of repainting my bedroom. In my west-facing house that gets almost too much natural light, this is one room that doesn't get much at all. On the one hand, that's good for sleep hygiene, I'm sure. On the other hand, it doesn't help my depression. I painted it a bluish millennial gray when I bought the house almost a decade ago. I'm ready for a color that brightens up the space, but still says, I'm a grown-ass professional woman. I think I'd get sick of a fun wall color fast and prefer to keep those shades to other decor. Any thoughts?
I had a strong opinion on this one.
What is it?
And I have a color picked, ready to go.
Oh.
So I also had a room that was like a bright house, but this room actually had no windows. And I was like, I want something cheery. And it's a color I have painted now in any place I've ever lived because it both feels professional, but is cheery. It's called Cook's Blue, and it's by Farrow and Ball, but you don't need to buy Farrow and Ball paint. You can just take the sample to like a Benjamin Moore place and they can mix it as close as they can. And it's just like, very cheery, but I always get compliments on it, and the color brings me great joy.
I like that. You're much more inclined to decorate well than I am, but I am kind of I'm kind of like commitment phobic when it comes to things like paint colors and stuff. And I would say what you could do is like try a peel and stick wallpaper on one wall and see how you like it. Like pick something that is like really fun and makes you happy to look at. And then if you don't like it, like whatever, just get rid of it. Just pull it down. If you do like it, then leave it up.
It's good.
Great. Those were all my advice questions.
All right. Well, we've solved it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a special holiday-sized Sani Petty, which means that there's enough to put in a little leftover box that you can take home and eat some later.
Yes, at midnight.
We'll be right back. Hysteria is brought to you by IndieCloud. Your phone updates overnight, but your brain still runs on Windows 95. IndieCloud is the upgrade that actually reboots your headspace. IndieCloud is your online dispensary for actual good times. Gummies, flower, pre-rolls, and more. All federally legal, THC, DEA certified, lab tested, and shipped discreetly. Basically everything you want without the sketchy handshake or the mystery baggie. Oh my God. I have a hard time winding down at the end of the day sometimes, especially if I'm in the middle of a busy week. Like this week, I'm trying to get everything done before a break. And that means that at the end of the day, when I lie down in bed, unless I do something to interfere with my runaway train of a brain, I'm just going to be up all night, just having repeating thoughts, thinking about what I need to do. That's why I love IndieCloud Sleepy Gummies. Sleepy Gummies are great for when your brain is like mine and replays the thing you said in 2014 or the thing that you wanted to finish that day but didn't. There's also dispensary-grade gummies for karaoke courage and a perfectly packed pre-roll for when karaoke inevitably turns into the Olympics. And $70 ounces, that's cheaper than brunch in LA. Now, this is how you upgrade your vibe without the hangover or the wallet regret. If you're 21 or older, go to IndieCloud.co and use code HYSTERIA for 40% off your first order plus free shipping. This is IndieCloud's biggest sale of the year, and it runs all month long, not one of those blink and you'll miss it flash deals. That's IndieCloud.co, code HYSTERIA. 40% off, free shipping, and a little extra breathing room for our listeners. As always, please enjoy responsibly, and thank you to IndieCloud for sponsoring today's episode. And welcome back. You are listening to Hysteria, the podcast for big fans of leftovers.
Love leftovers.
Depends on the leftover.
I like Thanksgiving leftovers. I don't like restaurant leftovers.
No, restaurant leftovers are always a disappointment. I think.
Yeah.
This is gross, but I've lately gotten really into like if I make a big thing of like soup, mm-hmm. You know, like when soup is left over, sometimes it becomes more like a stew or a porridge.
Yeah.
I love like a porridgey leftover.
Oh,
soup.
Especially if it's the kind of soup that you can put a little pecorino on top of.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the crusty bread and like
totally
scoop
agree.
It up. Yep, exactly. Okay, now I'm hungry. Now let's get to Sanity Corner. Alyssa, what is your Sanity Corner?
Guys, I started decorating for Christmas weeks ago. And it's bringing me great joy. And the funniest part that I had to bring someone else into, which at first I felt bad about, but then I think that she kind of got a kick out of it too. I decided this year that I wanted pink bows on my wreaths.
Okay.
But then I started getting really picky. And so to be clear, the place where I get my wreaths is not fancy. It is a place that you cut down your own Christmas tree, and then they also do wreaths. And so I said, you know, I wanted to order my wreaths for this year, but like, hear me out. I want pink bows. And they were like, and Aaron, the reason I thought of this, because I thought it would make you laugh because we talk about it so much. I was like, you know, like a pink, like a little dusty pink, like maybe a vintage pink, not like a Barbie pink, not like a hot pink. And she's like, I got it. And then she's like, what do you want for decoration? I was like, no, just plain wreath. She's like, are you sure? I was like, totally. And then like 6 hours later, I'm like, well, do you have some light pink balls? And she was like, yeah, I have some light pink balls. We can do it. She goes, done and done. We'll add light pink balls. And then like 6 hours later, I wrote back, I actually need you to use your judgment because I'm worried that what I'm asking for is going to look like an insane gender reveal when I put it up. And if you look at it and you think gender reveal, take the balls off. And she was like, I can send you pictures. I was like, no, I just need you to use your best judgment. I can't be a part of this anymore.
Wait, but what was the end result?
Yeah, we want to see a picture.
I pick them up tomorrow.
Oh.
So I'll have to show. I'll show you when I pick
Send
them
up. Send us the picture so we can put it in the YouTube.
I will.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So that was my excitement.
That's a good sanity corner for sure.
What about you?
All right. Well, my sanity corner is Ms. Rachel.
Oh, time 100.
Yeah. She was also the Glamour Woman of the Year.
Yes, that's what she was, Glamour Woman of the Year.
Yeah, Glamour Woman of the Year. Ms. Rachel is a children's entertainer. She started out making videos on YouTube where she talks to camera in her, like, very high-pitched voice and, like, sings to kids and stuff. And it's not one of those kids shows that adults can watch. It's not like Sesame Street where you're like, oh, this is fun. I get what this is a reference to. It's just pure stuff for kids. But my younger daughter, Daisy, is like obsessed with Miss Rachel. And she wakes up every morning at like 5:30 to 6 o'clock. And the only way that my husband and I have been able to live a semblance of a sort of normal life is she wakes up, I kind of keep her entertained until at least 6, and then I go out into the living room with her, and Josh sits with her, and she watches Ms. Rachel for like half an hour, and she knows all the songs, and sometimes she'll start saying something, and I'll be like, I don't know what she's saying, and then I'll realize it's like a Ms. Rachel song that we just like haven't sung together yet. Anyways, Ms. Rachel is also like an incredible humanitarian. I think she's the spiritual heir of Mr. Rogers. She has done so much work to like increase the visibility and emphasize the humanity of Palestinian children in Gaza. She's featured a child who is an amputee because of the Israeli offensive in Gaza. She's just like really... She wore a dress that was covered in art that children from Gaza had made
amazing.
Yeah, she's just like amazing. And she's gotten like pushback. She's gotten pushback for it. And she just doesn't care. She knows she's doing the right thing. And she is so brave. And I just think she's the best. I think she's like, if she ran for president, she could win. I think she could 100% win if she ran for president, especially as an antidote to this current administration.
Oh,
like,
that's true.
We're in a time of such like destructive, domineering, and I don't like to, I mean, toxic masculinity has become almost a cliche, but like literally a toxic way of moving through the world that emphasizes domination over even the health of the person doing the dominating. It is just like, it is domination at all costs, and it is like a self-immolating, death first type ideology. And Ms. Rachel just represents to me the opposite of that. She is like love and light. She is brave, and I think she's just fucking awesome. And also, like a lot of moms in this country, I believe I owe her several thousand dollars in child support at this point, because she's done so much. I mean, even if she wasn't doing all that advocacy work, if I didn't have, like, the extra 20 minutes between 6 and 6:20 every morning to just lay down and be like, okay, Daisy's leaving me alone right now, I would have gone insane. So, I think she's just the best. Love Miss Rachel. That's my sanity corner.
Yay, Miss Rachel.
Miss Rachel is like the kind of like when you get to like that fuck you rich and you can just do what you have the freedom to do whatever you want and say whatever you want if you like don't care. Mm-hmm. That's just such like a, I'm so happy she uses that for this. I really love her.
Yeah, and also she's on YouTube. So it's like, what are you going to do to me?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you going to do? Like, I don't have any, she has no executive. I mean, what if Netflix cancels her? Like, she's still got, like, 18 million subscribers.
Yeah,
Like, it's crazy. She could do a national tour and, like, sell out stadiums if she wanted to. Like, there is just nobody who can stop her.
Yeah.
And I love that she's a good person because
me too. Okay, my sanity corner is, it's a hard left from this, but I started watching All's Fair. I don't know if you guys have heard this show.
It's like the worst show of all time.
It is? Well, it started out with a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, but last I looked, it was up to like 5.
So I recently was like, I need to watch this, obviously, because I'm a huge Kim Kardashian apologist. I'm really sorry. And I started watching it, and it is like, it's so good. It's in fucking sane, but it is the most fun show to watch with a group of friends and a glass of wine because it's like nothing makes sense. There is not one scene where one of the lawyers isn't wearing a hat. by the way, if you're not familiar, All's Fair is that new Ryan Murphy show about the all-female divorce firm led by Kim Kardashian, Naomi Watts, Glenn Close. Sarah Paulson, Niecy Nash. It's like a stacked cast with like crazy cameos from people. But so every scene, like someone's got a crazy ass hat. Someone's got their tits out. And it's like, it's such a spectacle for the eyes and the ears because it's fun to point out the scenes where you're like, oh, wait, that one line delivery from Kim Kardashian was actually pretty good, and like spotting it. It's such a fun watch, and my friends and I and my girlfriend and I are really enjoying watching it. And when we run out of episodes, I'm genuinely going to be so sad, and I absolutely think there should be a season 2.
I think Ryan Murphy should be in jail. So
well,
There's so many things where it's like every time he gets his fingers in a show, I'm like, oh no, that's such like, a good story. It's going to be so dumb now.
Right. It's like the swans were kind of a miss because he didn't make it enough about the swans. And then like he's got the JFK Jr. show swans. Coming out. Didn't he do the swans for FX?
Yeah. It was like about the models.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Yeah.
Well, you missed out. And then he's got like the JFK Jr. show with, and like they put so little care into like what Carolyn Bessette was like, looked like and her style, which was like her whole thing, that they had to like shut down production for a while and like redo the actress's wardrobe and hair and everything. And it's like, what are you doing if you're not paying attention to that? However, I do have All's Fair. I just finished All Her Fault, and now All's Fair is up because even though it had horrible reviews.
It was the best of acting. It was the worst of acting.
I'm ready for it.
Hey, Naomi Watts is doing her best.
Naomi Watts is a great actress.
Liberty.
But my favorite, Caroline, I watched like the first 20 minutes of it, and then I realized I needed to be in a very specific headspace to try to enjoy the show. But my favorite thing in the first 20 minutes is that Kim Kardashian, like they try to show them as lawyers before they start their own firm, and they're literally dressed in like Talbot's Outlet. Like their suits are so ridiculous. Like I don't know. I thought it was very funny, but I can't wait.
I saw a TikTok supercut of Kim Kardashian reacting to things, and her face is just like,
oh yeah, the blank. I saw that too.
My favorite line she delivers is her husband, in the pilot, so I'm not ruining anything. Her husband's leaving her, and she goes, "What are you talking about?" It's so good. My girlfriend and I just keep going, what are you talking about? It's so fun to watch. And it makes me sad because I'm on the season of The Kardashians where she's like developing this show with Ryan Murphy. And she's like so nervous of people thinking she's terrible. And also it premiered on the day she found out she failed the bar. You know, she has a hard life, guys.
You're failing the bar with all the resources available.
I have to say, I am a big fan of The Room. Have you ever seen The Room?
The movie?
Yeah.
That one that's like crazy?
The one that is like
notoriously bad.
Yes, yeah, notoriously bad when there's like there used to be screenings at Sunshine Cinema in Houston Street in New York City, and people would like throw spoons at the screen and everything. So I love that. I love like bad movies. So maybe I would like this.
There are literally parts where they're like, feminism! Like, it's so, like, I feel so fun.
It's a spectacle. Yes. Right? It's over the top. It's a spectacle. It's entertainment.
It's Birkin porn.
They're playing xylophone on the stripped bones of the Me Too movement. Okay, sounds great.
That was funny.
That was really funny.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about petty stuff. Hysteria is brought to you by Planned Parenthood. Hello, friends of Hysteria. Decisions about healthcare are some of the most personal we make. In those moments, we all deserve care that is safe, supportive, and non-judgmental. But right now, that care is under attack. The Trump administration and Congress have defunded Planned Parenthood. It's a devastating blow to patients in our country's already broken healthcare system. But Planned Parenthood isn't backing down. They're still showing up for patients, helping provide essential care, and making sure everyone can access the life-saving, life-changing services they need. But here's the thing. They can only keep doing it because people like you step up to support this work. So yes, this fucking guy and his cronies might be doing everything they can to make it harder for you to get healthcare, but you can make it better. Show up for patients, show up for rights, show up for the values you actually believe in. Go to plannedparenthood.org/defend and make a gift today. plannedparenthood.org/defend. Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who are ready to move on to the December holidays. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Especially if it's like a tough year. Where you're like,
I haven't. I haven't picked my turkey up, but my tree is up.
Your turkey? We're a week plus out.
You got to brine it for like days.
Yeah, you got to brine your turkey.
I've never participated in helping on Thanksgiving, so
that is apparent.
My mom once sent me to get a cheesecloth, and I was at Whole Foods for like 45 minutes panicking. I was like, A cheesecloth?
How does Didn't you just ask someone?
Well, it was really busy because it was the day before Thanksgiving, and I couldn't get a lot of help, and it was raining, and I was at Whole Foods. I was panicked.
Yeah, that's like at any grocery store on Thanksgiving, you're going to see a bunch of guys walking around on their cell phones being like, they don't have condensed milk, and they're like, or in front of the dairy case.
Yeah.
There's no condensed milk, and their wife being like, it's not in the dairy case.
Anyway. Go into the bakery aisle, you dipshit.
Yeah, exactly.
No, baking, not bakery. Baking.
Okay, let's talk about petty, right?
Petty.
Alyssa, what are you feeling petty about?
Guys, I don't even know if it's petty. I caught myself doing something I shouldn't be doing. So in the throes of this season of the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and it's a bit of a controversial season, and Jesse, we find out, Caroline, I really feel like I'm digging into your world here because this all goes down at the Vanderpump Villa.
Oh, there's a crossover? Okay.
Yes, there's a crossover where Jesse and Demi, both Mormon wives, may or may not have hooked up with Mauricio. And
Umansky?
Yes.
That's okay. A Beverly Hills housewife's husband.
I know who he is. Yeah. I've watched like five episodes.
I think that's right. He's very shiny.
He's in the season when they go to the dinner party and it's like hilarious. It's
yeah, Beverly dinner party Hills. From hell. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I know who he is.
Okay. So he is not a good, he is not acting of the highest moral fiber on his appearance here in the Mormon Wives. And so Jesse hooks up with him while she is separated from her husband, Jordan. And is what they don't talk about is that she and Jordan are actually separated because, like, he might not be a very nice husband, and that the hooking up with Marciano.
Marciano and Vanderpump.
Vanderpump.
So different, Alyssa.
Well, Caroline, look, like I said, I'm just, like, wading my feet in here, okay?
I'm just sorry. That's a crazy misstep. For anyone who knows who these two people are.
Well, it's Marciano. It's Marciano. Yes. So anyway, there's like a lot of controversy because Jordan does not tell the people on the show that he's just telling everyone that Demi cheated on him. He's not saying that he kind of like verbally abused her for months.
They're on a break, right?
They're on a break. Mm. Yes. So this last week, like the episodes all drop, but I just happen to get to episode 3 where this all goes down. And I'm like, okay, they're talking about the online argument. So I'm like, I need to go see. So I go to the Housewives or the Mormon Wives Instagram page. And all of these women are attacking Jesse. And I like had to stand up for her. And I'm like, listen, I got into the comments and I was just like, did you not hear her husband call her disgusting on television? I was like, imagine what he is saying when the cameras are not on. And then I realized I needed to delete my comment and I went to go delete it. And I started getting all sorts of like activity. Guys, I didn't know that Instagram had changed how you delete a comment. You don't just swipe anymore.
Oh, no.
What do you do?
You have to go into your activity. You have to go into your profile to your activity.
That sucks.
Because I'm like, why am I going to argue with people who, by the way, 100%, like as I was reading the comments, I was like, all these people subscribe to Evie. Like 100% of these people subscribe to Evie magazine. And I was like, I'm not going to engage in a fight that is not like, this is not a real thing. And I have to stop. But I really spent a solid hour and a half of my time composing what I thought was the most I'll own you response on the Instagram page, only to realize it was a catastrophic mistake. What was I doing? And not be able to delete it. I've never panicked so hard so fast in my whole life.
I'm sorry to actually, you're petty, but Claire did a face when she said that's the way to delete an Instagram. So I imagine there has to be another way, an easier
way. To delete your comment off someone else's post.
I think there has to be an easier way.
Maybe if you hold it down.
I'll check it now, but I'm telling you, when I Googled how do I delete the comment, it told me how to get back in because you used to just be able to swipe it and delete your own comment. Not anymore.
Ugh, that sucks.
Anyway, well, I survived, but
here's my petty. I have decided what my like make-a-wish type thing would be. Like if I like knew that my life was coming to an end. And when it is coming to an end. No. It's just like, you know, because it's like, what do I want out of the rest of my life? And I decided like my final trip will be a P tour of America. And by a P tour of America, I will be I will be visiting all the graves of the people that I hate and peeing on them. Everyone, all of the people that I hate, I will somehow get my pee on their grave. I'm planning on doing this. If you want to go, like, here's the thing. Hopefully I'll be like in my 80s when this happens. So like, what are they going to do? Arrest a sweet little grandma? I'm confused. Oh, I didn't know I was peeing on Ronald Reagan's headstone. You know, like, I think it'd just be a good way for me to see. People are laughing at me. It'd be a good way for me to like see parts of the country I haven't seen, right? It would be a good way for me to, like, give a final fuck you and, like, remember that I outlived them by peeing on their grave and, like, live in that happiness. Like, I outlived Antonin Scalia. I outlived, you know, various people, right? And I've decided if I can't pee directly on the graves. This is what I, like, had some insomnia last night and I came up with this idea to, like, help me go back to sleep. I'll, like, put it in a jar and I'll, like, toss it. Like, all
that way you're not having to squat down.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to ask. That was the one complicated
thing. Yeah. I don't necessarily want to be like fully vag out at 83 or whatever.
Then you're never mind. I was just like, now you're just giving those creeps what they want.
Just like old Lady Bush.
Yeah.
Just like hovering over their final resting place. Something tells me that's not what Jeffrey Epstein would want. but I think that that's just going to be like the way that I round out my life. And I'm not going to necessarily tell people that I'm doing it because, like, I'm imagining telling like Juniper as an adult, like, well, my mom's going around and peeing on the graves of the people she doesn't like.
I'll drive you.
Amazing. I think that'd be a great like Thelma and Louise type.
It'd be great
thing. So yeah, that's my plan. And if I did find out, because I had to like do my like OBG, I had to go to the vagina doctor because it's like whatever once a year, so annoying. And like I'm at the age where she was like, all right, now here's where you go get your mammogram. And I was like, bleh. Like thinking about that made me think about like, what if they found something, you know, like the end of my life? And I'm like,
yeah,
if I got diagnosed with like a terminal disease, I would also do that. And what are they going to do, arrest a lady with cancer? All I'm doing is fulfilling my dream.
That's it. It's your bucket list.
Yeah. The bucket's full of pee.
I've always wholeheartedly believe, and I don't know if we're going to have to cut this or not, but that old people are the best people to be radicalized and crazy shit
that you don't want,
like, you know, a young person to do, let's say, because they're at the end of their life. Like, if they go to jail, it's probably only a couple of years, and they went out amazing.
They'll be the queen of the jail.
Yeah.
Like, they throw a grandma in a women's jail, and I'm, like, really nice and helpful.
Yeah, like, no, exactly. Like, I don't think, like, I really think, like, we need to radicalize more, like, real elders.
Oh, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about when I wrote that, this fucking guy about Leonard Leo, the people that were protesting outside of his house in, like, Maine— were a bunch of old ladies. And he was like, these people are radical. He was like so terrified of these like old ladies that were protesting out of their house. If you go to a No Kings protest, so many old ladies. They do not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Anyway, that's gonna be me, but with pissing on the graves of people that I don't like. so yeah, if you live close to the grave of somebody that I don't like,
be on the lookout.
Get in touch. I might want to couch surf a little bit. but yeah, that's my plan. That's my end of life plan. All right, Caroline, what's your petty?
My petty is kind of at myself for being such a procrastinator, because something happens like in November and December where all my big expenses fall on like the same week. Like I could at the beginning of the year schedule out when I'm getting my hair done, when I have my like house cleaner or dog groom, like all these things I don't like. And like, it's like also at this exact time, every single one of my products runs out. Mm-hmm. So it's like on top of all of this, I have a big Sephora refill to do. Mm-hmm. And they always fall right in November, December before all the gift buying happens. And it's just like, I have never had the foresight to schedule this. So this is a solvable problem that I choose not to solve every year. And then at this time every year, I'm like, well, it's beans until January 1st for dinner. And I'm feeling petty about that.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you where, like, you know, like you're like, I think specifically about like makeup products, where like they all go empty at the exact same time. And then like all of a sudden you're paying $500 at Sephora for like three things.
So we have like, it's not so much that, it's just like the calendar works out that way. We always have a big Halloween party at our house, and like we invite all of our friends in the neighborhood and like all of our kids' friends, and people like come hang out. And it's not like we're getting it catered, but it's not cheap. It's like, you know, we're like feeding and providing alcohol and candy and all this stuff. So we also pay to have somebody help us decorate for Halloween, because it's like very elaborate. And then we pay to have the same person come take down the Halloween decorations, put up the Christmas decorations. And then Juniper's birthday is like the week after Halloween, and kids' birthday parties are very expensive. And then it's like Thanksgiving, where we usually do a Friendsgiving. And then it's like, how are we traveling for Christmas? We have to get everybody present. It's just like,
yeah, I guess it's more of like a pettiness against capitalism.
Yeah, at the end of the year. It's too much stuff at the end of the year. I think we should move Christmas to January 25th. I've been saying it for a long time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I like that
idea.
That
would be nice, especially where I live with climate change. It's actually colder and there's actually snow by then.
And it'll break up the winter. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, January sucks ass.
It's a slog.
Fucking worst.
Well, except for Claire's birthday. Everything except Claire's birthday sucks ass in January. and it's just, I mean, in L.A. even, it's, like, just raining. It's not fun.
But, it just gets so expensive at this time of year. And I know I'm bringing this all upon myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I do understand that. But also, like, Black Friday hits, and obviously I want those leather pants from Reformation. It's like, I don't know how to help myself.
That's wow.
That is.
Leather pants. What are you going to do?
Leather pants.
Well, they're really cute. They're not like fucking like John Travolta, like, I don't know.
Those are cool leather pants.
Yeah, but those are like not, they're like chic, like it's not like super shiny.
You know what? eBay. That's my shit. If I really love something and I'm like, I can't spend $600 on
a sweater, I do that too.
I'll like put a pin in it, like in my head, and then in a year or like 6 months, I'll start looking on eBay, and usually it's like at least 25% off unless it's like a collector's item. And then in a year, it's like maybe half off. You can find things with tags on that are 3 or 4 years old. Like, I have a bunch of clothes that are Sandro clothes that I bought on eBay.
I didn't realize eBay was still functioning. I go straight to Poshmark when I need to do something.
eBay is good, and I use eBay for a lot of things, but it's actually been eclipsed. The TikTok store is now bigger than eBay.
What?
Yep.
I don't trust any of that. I don't trust any of the
I have full outfits in the TikTok shop.
What?
Oh, no. I got one thing from the TikTok shop.
I have sweatpants, shirts, I think, slippers.
I think Josh got me a pair of pajama pants from the TikTok. I mean, I do have a pair of pajama pants from him that have Eleanor's face all over them, like a photo print of her face. And I think he got them from the TikTok shop, but I don't know. Anyway, well, you're going to have to tell me the next time you're wearing TikTok shop clothes.
I will.
Huh. All right, well, that's all the time we have for this Thanksgiving episode of Hysteria. We love you guys so much. Caroline, thank you for being on the mic this very special holiday episode.
Honored to another year of potentially canceling myself.
Claire, thank you for yelling about your birthday from the couch. January 25th, if anyone wants to, and the new Christmas, as we call it, if anyone wants to send Claire a gift, January 25th, address it to New Christmas. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die. I'm thankful for everybody who works on the show. I'm thankful for everybody at Crooked Media. And listeners, we are thankful for you. There will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Kendra James is our executive producer of culture and entertainment. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.